at Mary's song, the parallelism stands out to you. And you see it right in the very first couple of lines there. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. This is really what Mary's song is about. It's not about herself, it's about God. It's about her desiring to magnify God, to rejoice in the Lord. Which kind of brings us to the question, well, what does this idea of magnifying mean? Well, it comes from the Greek megaluno. And the idea is this, to cause to be large of either physical or non-physical entities, right? Make large or long, to make great, or to be caused to be held in greater esteem through praise or deeds, to exalt, glorify, magnify, speak highly of. And it's the second meaning that's in view here, right? The purpose of Mary's song is to praise and glorify God for what He has done, not only for her, but also, even more so, for her people. And we find many characteristics in this song that are very similar to what we'd find in the Psalms. For instance, like Psalm 103, which is a psalm of thanksgiving. So Mary is praising God. She's magnifying God for who He is and what He's done. And again, to magnify something means to praise, exalt, or to speak highly of something. And I want you guys to think about it with me this way. I heard a pastor share this once, and I thought this is really helpful. And we hear the word magnify. There's two ways to think about it, right? For some of you, maybe in high school biology, you've used a microscope. You've looked under a microscope, and you've used this tool to magnify something that's very small. That you need this tool to see something that, because it is so small, you cannot see it with a naked eye. Another sense of the word magnify is when an astronomer looks through a telescope and admires the beauty of the galaxies and the stars. It's not that they're small, they're massive. But they're so far away that in order to see them, you have to magnify the image. I think that second idea is the one that we're talking about today. The glory of God is so huge, so massive, that we need to magnify. We need to see it more clearly by praising Him, exalting Him for who He is and what He's done. And that's what Mary is doing. And here's the thing, right? This is why it's important for us to learn. Because we all magnify something or someone. We all magnify something or someone. It's like it's a part of how God hardwired us, how God designed us. He made us for worship. We all magnify something or someone. And I know this because of Facebook. I know this because of Facebook, because I log on to Facebook and people, my friends, are magnifying the last meal that they had. They're magnifying the last movie that they had. They're magnifying the last sports event that they had. They're magnifying the last vacation that they took. They're magnifying the last amazing bargain they bought on Black Friday. We all magnify something or someone. And I think too often, it's easy for us to magnify ourselves. You know, Derek is waxing eloquent about how I'm such an intelligent, scholarly person. I don't know if that's true or not. But I do remember telling my wife the story of finishing up at Phoenix Seminary. You see, when you graduate from Phoenix Seminary, before you graduate, they have you go through an oral exam. And in this oral exam, you sit down with a couple of professors, and they ask you anything they want. They'll ask you questions about theology. They'll ask you questions about what the Bible says about this topic or that topic. They're basically there to grill you, to basically make sure you know your stuff. Right? So I'm telling my wife this story, how, you know, I'm going through my oral exam, and I for whatever reason, they assigned three professors to me. Usually it's just two. So they give me three professors, and one of them is Wayne Grudem. So I've got Wayne Grudem, right, who's a systematic theology professor at Phoenix Seminary, and they're grilling me on stuff, and about halfway through the interview, they ask me a question. I'm like, I'm stumped. I have no idea how to answer the question, and they start laughing. And they said, you know, we were wondering how long it would take for you to not know how to answer one of our questions. You're doing really well. And I was telling my wife the story, and she says, oh yeah, you know, we should take photos of these professors, we should hang them up in our living room, and we should, you know, put the words, how great you are, Jerry, underneath those photographs, because she's just kind of like pointing out how arrogant and prideful I was being in telling that story. But that's the case, right? We all magnify something or someone. Oftentimes it's other things, things that we're enjoying in our life, but sometimes it's ourselves. Sometimes too often we are magnifying ourselves. But Mary here, she is desiring to magnify the Lord. And we're going to look today at this song and understand why it is that she is magnifying the Lord. So let's take a deeper look at Mary's song here. She says this, right? My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And as we look through this song, you start to see parallelism. And hopefully this shows up on... Oh, there we go. Okay. So one of the parallels you find is this phrase, humble estate. It's repeated, right? Humble estate. Talking about the humble estate of the servant, right? In one case, it's talking about Mary. In the other case, it's talking about Israel. And these two ideas, this idea that God looks upon the humble estate of his servants, this is kind of tied to this parallelism of mercy, right? This idea of mercy. Mary is celebrating the fact that God is a merciful God. Mary talks about how he has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. God is caring for those who are in need. God is caring for those who are downtrodden. Now think with me about the context here. Mary is living in a time when Israel is under the oppression, under the power of the Roman Empire. Daily, they're being reminded that Rome is in power here. Rome is in control here. And that's why many at this time, they were hoping that this would be now the time that God would send them a Savior to deliver them from the Romans. And so for Mary to receive this news that the anointed Messiah, the Christ, the promised deliverer of Israel, would be brought into the world through her, she was beside herself. She was so excited to hear this news, not just because it was her that was being chosen, but because of what this would mean for her people, liberation and freedom. Or at least that's what she had and many had thought. And so this first idea is that Mary magnifies the Lord because he is merciful. Mary magnifies the Lord because he is merciful. She's so excited because this is a God who cares for his people, who cares for his children, who cares for those who are downtrodden. And that's why she is magnifying the Lord. As we keep reading the song, we find some more parallelism. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And we see this. He who is mighty, right? He who is mighty, and further down, has brought down the mighty. He who is mighty has brought down the mighty. That's just kind of the second parallelism that we find here, right? And Mary goes on to say that this God has done great things. He has shown strength with his arm. Goes on to say that he has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones. And so that's the second idea that we see here in this song. Mary magnifies the Lord because he is powerful. Mary magnifies the Lord because he is powerful. She sees her condition. She sees the situation that she and her people are in. And she knows that it's going to take someone who's powerful to free them, to redeem them. Again, she's thinking of the Romans. And she's praising God because she knows that this God can free them from the oppression of the Romans. And that's why she is praising God. She magnifies the Lord because he is powerful. So keep reading. We find an interesting pattern here. So we find down in verse 52, these ideas of God being merciful and these ideas of God being powerful kind of intertwined together. And I just wanted for us to take a look at that. Verse 52, He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. And when you look at that, you kind of see this pattern here, right? It's chiastic structure. Again, this is something that's just characteristic of poetry back in this day. And so I just highlight this because it's here that we find God's mercy and God's power kind of being brought together in justice. And so Mary is magnifying the Lord because He is merciful and because He is powerful. As we keep on reading, we find some more parallelism. And, that is really hard to read, huh? All right. All generations. Okay, the words that are highlighted there are all generations are from generation to generation. Some parallelism there. The word generation is being repeated. And further down, you find this idea of remembrance and our fathers to Abraham and to his offspring forever. This idea that God is faithful. All right? So this is another reason that Mary magnifies the Lord, because He is faithful. She thinks about the fact that God had made a promise to His people long, long ago that He would bring them a deliverer. And He's now fulfilling it. She's just praising Him because of His faithfulness. She's so thankful that the God that she worships is a faithful God. That throughout the generations of the people of Israel, God has remained their God. And God has fulfilled the promises that He's given to them. And so I think about these three things. And I think about what it means for us. Mary magnifies the Lord because He is merciful, because He is powerful, because He is faithful. Man, think about that for a minute. What does Christmas really mean? Doesn't it mean all these things? That God in His mercy would send us this most precious gift, His Son, Jesus Christ. God didn't have to. I think sometimes we're so entitled. We're so self-righteous. We think we don't need God's mercy. We don't need His forgiveness. And that's what keeps us from realizing how merciful He is. But He is so merciful. I've shared this illustration before, but how many of you guys have ever been bitten by a mosquito? Most of you guys here have been bitten by a mosquito, right? How many of you guys ever killed a mosquito? Yeah, feels good, right? Now, have you ever had remorse in killing that mosquito? Any hands? No. You're all like, yeah, that mosquito deserved it. He was trying to bite me, and I killed him, right? And you say that because, man, a human being is so much bigger, so much more evolved, so much more complicated, so much more advanced than the puny mosquito. And so you're like, of course it's right for me to kill that mosquito. And of course I would feel no remorse at killing this mosquito. Now imagine, how much bigger is the God of the universe? How much bigger is the God who created heaven and earth? How much more powerful is He? How much more amazing is He? And for us to think that we deserve any better than a mosquito would, that's hubris. That's arrogance. Instead, God showed us His mercy, even though He knew it would cost Him His Son. And some of you guys know that Selma is originally from Australia. And she moved out here basically to marry me, be with me. And the past 4.5 years have been really just an eye-opener for me. Before I got married, I used to think I'm the most kind and nice and gentle and patient person. Being married, guys, it's like a mirror, right? It's like a mirror you have to look at every day, and you realize, like, wow, I'm not that kind. Wow, I'm not that patient. Wow, I'm not that holy, right? And I think for Selma, you know, she didn't know those things about me before she came over. She had to discover those things. She had to discover, oh, man, this guy snores really badly, right? Oh, man, this guy really likes to eat. Okay. She had discovered those things before she came over here. she had discovered things after she came over here, right? She didn't know those things about me before she came over here. And I wonder sometimes, like, would she still come over here if she knew, right? But think about it, right? God knew everything about us, knew every hateful, vengeful, bitter, petty, selfish thought, selfish act, hurtful action that we've ever done. He knew those things before he reached out to us, before the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among men. See, the Bible tells us that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God was fully aware. God knew everything about us before he left that throne room in heaven and took on flesh. He did that knowingly. He did that knowing exactly what he would get. That's his mercy. That's his mercy. He didn't have to do that, but he did. And I hope that as we enter into the season of Christmas, that that is a reminder for us. I think about the second reason that Mary magnifies the Lord, the fact that he is powerful. I think sometimes we don't experience God's power because we're just so independent. We're so self-reliant, especially in America, right? I mean, we're kind of taught to be independent. We're kind of taught to rely on ourselves, to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and just keep forging on. But sometimes we encounter things that we just have no chance against. We just have no control over. And it's in those moments, I think, that we really are able to experience God's power. I was talking to Elijah the past few weeks, and he was just reminding me about the I-42 missions team. You know, the years that they've been in Taiwan, they've had 6 typhoons threaten to come their way, right? And when the typhoon were to land, it would basically shut down the mission. And so they had to pray. They would pray. God would basically send the typhoon away. And basically 5 out of 6 times, God sent the typhoon away, redirected it somehow. God is a powerful God. That's the God that we worship. Nothing is impossible for him. If only we would just stop relying on ourselves and just really trust in him, just really ask for him to move. And that's why Mary magnifies the Lord, because he is powerful. And finally, she magnifies the Lord because he is faithful. I don't know if you're aware, but when you look in the Old Testament, there are literally hundreds of prophecies that you find in the Old Testament that point to the circumstances in which Jesus would be born, in which he would live, in which he would minister, in which he would die on the cross and be resurrected from death for us. There's literally hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that point to that. And even begins back in Genesis 3. God spoke to Adam and Eve and told Eve that, you know, her offspring would crush the serpent. Right? That was kind of a picture, a foreshadowing of what the gospel would accomplish. And I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like we as Christians, we know our New Testament really well, but we don't really know our Old Testament. And I want to encourage us, you know, we got to know what the Old Testament says. I think the more that we understand the Old Testament, we'll just see how faithful of a God he is. That no matter how badly the Israelites messed up and walked away from God, God never gave up on them. And God had this plan to send them a Savior as Jesus. And so, I want to share those ideas with us this morning. And I want to encourage us as we enter into this Christmas season, to really just ask ourselves that question, right? What does it mean that God is merciful? What does it mean that God is powerful? What does it mean that God is faithful? And I want to remind us as well that all of this, right, all of this, the reason that Mary is singing this song is because of Jesus, because God has brought them a deliverer. Jesus is the reason for the season. I know in the traditions that we have of giving out gifts and having parties, you know, it's a really busy season for many of us. But I hope that we don't forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. And I want to challenge you with something. You know, my wife's birthday is coming up. And I was thinking about what I should get her, right? And I thought to myself, I know what would make her really happy. It would really make her happy if I went out to Best Buy and I bought myself a huge flat screen TV. That would really make my wife happy for her birthday. I say that because, man, isn't that what we do at Christmas time, right? Isn't Christmas supposed to be a celebration of Jesus' birthday, right? Right? But what do? We buy ourselves gifts, right? How weird is that? If Jesus is the reason for the season, if it's His birthday that we're celebrating, shouldn't we be thinking about what to give Him? But then that raises the question, what do you give a man who has everything, right? Well, the answer is really simple, actually. He's told us in Matthew 25. Whatever you do for the least of these brothers of mine, you have done for me. When you give a cup of cold water to someone in need, when you give a warm meal to someone in need, when you give some winter clothing to someone who is in need, you've done it for Jesus. And so, church, can I encourage you this season? Let Jesus be the reason for this season. Let this season be about pleasing Him, about giving Him gifts, by giving it to the least of these. I want to encourage you to really think about that this season. Again, this question, right? We all magnify something or someone. We cannot help but magnify something or someone. It's about how we were created, how we were designed. We were designed for this. My prayer for us as a church is that this season we would seek to magnify the Lord like Mary, because He is merciful, because He is powerful, because He is faithful. I want to close our time in the Word together with a little exercise. I want to encourage you guys, invite you guys to stand up, and let's just say these words together. Just the very first two lines. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Let's say that together. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Let's say that again. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Let those words ring true in your hearts this season. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for who You are and what You've done. That in Your mercy, in Your power, in Your faithfulness, Lord, You've given us Jesus. And Lord, we just ask that this Christmas season, that You would fill our hearts with anticipation, fill our hearts with hope, fill our hearts with joy. Remind us once again that Jesus is the reason for the season. God, we thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.